you might end up having a pea shooter for that one. Let's go out on a limb, Tony, and say that Ohio State beats Santa Barbara on Friday.
Oh, yeah, that's really coming out of a limb.
Bong, bong, bong. Good morning.
He persevered and won against his little hex that he had on the team, but
I have to play this thing with my mind, not my heart. And my mind said the Celtics will win Game 6 tonight. The Lakers dominate, and they win 89-67.
I love you, Dave. I really do, but you suck at bets.
Good morning, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big Wednesday show. Starting off another week in July here on Locks of the Week Radio. I hope your Independence Day weekend was good, and I hope you had a time to celebrate our independence here in this nation and its very foundations here in the city on Locks of the Week Radio. This is the Dave in the City podcast, brought to you today by the wonderful people at Locks of the Week Radio, and yours truly, Dave Medina, your host. Well, we have a couple of things to bring you from off the top. And first of all, a big announcement regarding our own program today. We are now running on upgraded equipment. And we upgraded the equipment during the long weekend. We are now operating with a very nice Audio-Technica AT2020 microphone, a Behringer mixer, the Xenix 802 with a quite nice preamplifier, Phantom Power, and an equalizer, which can make even the saltiest of voices sound pretty good. So welcome one, welcome all. This is great. I mean, it sounds like this program is now in high definition now. It's like upgrading from 56K modem to broadband. You've gone from that to Fios with this new equipment. It's great. So welcome in. You know, you'll hear a little hum in the background and some echo. Two reasons for that. Number one, I'm in a house with all wood flooring and no padding to speak of. I don't have curtains or anything like that. So dampening, I would think, would be in the pipeline for this house. A rug would be in the pipeline too. That's all set to go. You know, that's really all I have as far as personal announcements. Also off the top of the show, before we get into any NBA talk, because we're going to have a huge day in the NBA today, but I need to announce that there was a very harrowing moment earlier tonight involving a fan at a Texas Rangers game at Arlington, at the ballpark at Arlington. And during the fifth inning, a fan fell all the way from the upper deck trying to catch a foul ball. Thank God that he didn't come from the very, very top. Apparently, if you read the article, this is from Chris Cox of MLB.com. The fan, a male fan, fell from a second deck club level and went into the lower bowl. So it's not as big of a drop as I originally thought. It's basically about a 30-foot drop, according to the article. And so it's not nearly as catastrophic as I originally thought. But, you know, I was so concerned about him, and I didn't know whether he would survive or not. And when they took him to the hospital and they had a chance to look at him, apparently, there are some reports that cannot be confirmed, but apparently he still had all of extremities moving, and he is consciousness. So I'm not really sure if that's true or not, but we'll take that for what it's worth. Four other persons were injured in the account of the incident, and this is just because the man fell basically right onto the first level from the second level. So obviously there are people in the way too. So they were hurt as well. They are treated for various injuries at the John Peter Smith Hospital in Fort Worth, Texas. So honestly, our thoughts are with all the fans involved in the incident. I hope everybody's okay. I certainly hope nobody dies from this, and I want to make sure that I'm going to hope that it all goes well. And so our best to them, our best to everybody and their families. Let's hope for a nice recovery for them all. All right, now to the business of sports. We begin today with some catch-up work to do. A lot of things happened since Friday. You know, we had the big Friday show. We had a lot of people on to talk about what's been going on in the NBA. And essentially, the world tipped over on Friday. You had a bunch of people signing. You had Joe Johnson agreeing to that deal once and for all, a max contract. Basically, it's done. They can't officially sign any contracts for real until the 8th of July, which is Thursday. But what you can do is you can announce the intentions and basically make the agreements, and that's exactly what happened here. In addition, you had a big signing in as much as Rudy Gay, who we thought might have been one of the ones moving to another team. But instead, Rudy Gay will sign with his incumbent team, the Memphis Grizzlies, for, an 80-year contract. And that's done. In addition, the Lakers made their own move. They signed guard Steve Blake. The premonition was that they were going to get Mike Miller, but Miller did not accept their offer. He was only given a midnight deadline the night of, in which it basically happened about the time we were doing, the Thursday show. May have been the Friday show. It was during production of the Friday show. And either way, he did not accept the agreement, so Kupchak went to the next available guard, and that apparently was Steve Blake. He has signed for a 4-year deal at $16 million. I think it's not a bad deal, but I was kind of expecting more. I was hoping that there'd be more from that than that. So, yeah, what can you do? That's it for the Lakers. And then the biggest story up to now had been that Amar'e Stoudemire, it had been rumored and finally confirmed on Sunday. It was probably Monday. It was confirmed on Monday that Amar'e Stoudemire has in fact signed the Knicks for a 5-year deal. Terms of the deal were not made to be specific at the time, but I can now say that the deal is, again, 5 years and worth, let's see. Now, they initially agreed to $100 million over the 5 years. I believe at this point we are going to say, it's been said now that he's signed for $97 million. So $97 million, 5 years for Amar'e Stoudemire. And there's a lot of debate about that. You know, like, was that a good signing? Because the guy's not a complete player. He can't create his own shot. He can't play defense. He can't rebound worth anything. We really don't know whether this is going to be a good signing for the team. So that's it, very much up in the air. We have no idea. So that's where we are now. And then earlier tonight, in a big announcement reported in various places, but principally at ESPN, you're not going to believe this, but LeBron James has decided that he will make a decision on Thursday, which is not a big story in and of itself, but it is a big story in and of itself because he's basically going to say where he's going to go and the rumors that circulated around New York. And the rumors that circulated around New Jersey, and they circulated around Chicago. You'll notice they didn't circulate much around the Clippers. But nonetheless, he's going to make his decision very soon. But the twist is, apparently he's going to announce this on ESPN. He's actually agreed, according to Chris Broussard, who's a reporter for the NBA on ESPN, that he's going to have a 9 p.m. special on ESPN to determine where he's going to go. He's got a special just for him. That has got to be kidding me. I mean, you have got to be kidding me on that. And this on the same day that he made and literally just created his Twitter account. And before he posted one thing, there were 50,000 subscribers. 50,000 followers of the LeBron James, quote, official account. And it is official, by all accounts. So then he makes a really random post about how he's just signed on to Twitter. And then the post count doubles. It goes up to like 80,000. I'm sure it's up to like 100 million right now. Let's go. We can check up on that right now as we speak on Twitter Watch. And we look at that as we as he announces again, he's going to announce where he signs in a special on ESPN at 9 o'clock Eastern Time on Thursday. This is not a joke. It's not a joke. I wish it was a joke because it sounds so ridiculous. It can't possibly be real. But it is. It's amazing where we've come today in journalistic standards and just the relative lack of any kind of decency in the media today. It's just all about the shock value and the attention and the money. It's never about your own principles anymore. And I think that's just a shame. I think it's a disgrace. But at the same time, he's still going to say where he's going to go, and that's newsworthy, and, well, we're all going to have to basically put up with it and watch the thing. That's amazing. And so, King James's Twitter account, that's how he's labeled. He's called King James on Twitter. His account is now standing. This can't be real. It says his location is UT. I don't know what the hell. What the hell is UT? Utah? But he's not in Utah. Unless he just happens to be in Utah at the moment. Anyway, apparently he's got 184,044 followers. If this, in fact, is a legitimate account, and, you know, pretty much is. I mean, if the reports are right, then this is the one. A chosen one, apparently. 184,044 followers as of now. That's obviously going to increase over time. And it has. Now it's 184,282. This thing goes up faster than national debt. It's unbelievable. And that's your story right now. So the NBA free agency period is getting really intense now. And, you know, when Stoudemire signed, it was definitely a precursor to something greater. And that something greater, it looks like it's going to be LeBron James. So now we will talk about it. We'll bring in our friend, Juhan Lee. He's joining us here in the city. We're just going to wait for him here as he's just going to check a few things real quick, get himself ready to go. I mean, this is a huge day, and we just have some other breaking news just coming across the wire right now. We will find out what that is shortly. All right, Juhan, welcome again. How you doing, my friend?
I'm not in a very good mood right now.
Oh, boy. You know, I just heard that the big news about the Clippers, they've hired... Who have they hired now? Who is going to be their new head coach? That's what I heard.
BDN, Vinny Del Negro.
Oh, my goodness. That is incredible. I mean, I don't mean that necessarily, like, good or bad. It's just shocking, I think. What are the? Did you get the terms of the deal? Has that been announced?
It's just been announced. The terms of the deal haven't come out yet. It's literally breaking right now on like Twitter, everybody's Facebook page. Vinny Del Negro is going to be the new Clippers head coach.
Oh my goodness, this is incredible. He was such a train wreck in Chicago. I completely sympathize with you on this, Juhan. I can't believe that he would be hired to be the coach. Oh my goodness!
Before we start ripping on the guy, I knew it came down to either Vinny Del Negro or Dwayne Casey, the Mavs' current assistant right now. Those are the two finalists for the job.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, that's why I said I sympathize, because it's like, first of all, it's not as if there were a lot of great coaching candidates out there at the moment. You know, that's one thing.
Before I just completely rip up on him, I want to at least give him some credit. The reason that he's gotten this far in the coaching search is that he's proven he can develop young players. And I guess if you look at Derrick Rose, Joakim Noah, Luol Deng, they have developed pretty well under Vinny Del Negro, so I guess you could give him that. But as far as his X's and O's, his game strategy, I don't know how to say it. It's just horrible. my brother was telling me how he went to a Nets Bulls game last year when Del Harris was Vinny Del Negro's assistant coach. Or maybe it was 2 years ago, but during a timeout, Vinny Del Negro did absolutely nothing. it was actually Del Harris drawing up the plays and talking to his players, and Vinny Del Negro was just there for moral support, I guess. And that's just kind of the vibe that I got from him throughout his tenure there at Chicago, that he was a good motivator, he knew what to say, got the young players to play hard for him, but really had no game strategy whatsoever. His offense is very unimaginative. It's a lot of just standing around, doing pick and rolls, give one guy the ball, let him go to work. His defense over the past couple years, he's been an okay defensive coach. The Chicago Bulls defense has been pretty good, but offensively, his teams have been horrible. And for a Clipper squad that was pretty much near to last place in efficiency, offensive efficiency last year, I think game plan tactician with a offensive game plan would have helped a lot. So I'm not, but we'll see how it goes.
Well, I mean, it's I've heard from Bulls fans. I know two Bulls fans, and they both were less than impressed with Vinny Del Negro's in-game decision, just like you were saying, basically. So I'm corroborating the other assessments on him. And yeah, I mean, I guess the thing, though, like you said, he has taken his team to the playoffs. He made them go the distance, actually twice, really. He made them go the distance against the Boston Celtics. He had the situation. Now, they did lose in five games, but I would say that they did give the Cavaliers at the time, you know, a little bit of a run for their money. They weren't completely worthless against them, like, you know, say the Hawks in the second round. So there is that. That's all I have right now. I mean, I think once we determine how much they signed him for, because, you know, what if they signed him for, like, $25 million for, like, 5 years or something like that? That'd be outrageous. But I don't think that'll be the case. It'd be more like $5 million for 5 years, so we'll see.
Well, I really don't care about that because, I mean, that's up to them, and that doesn't factor into salary cap at all.
Right. See, that's the thing. Yeah.
I don't care about how much money they throw at him. All I care about is just the results that are going to be out on the floor. And I don't know. Some people, you know, they believe that he'll be good for the Clippers because the Clippers do have a lot of young players that he could develop. I guess this is just a sort of a white flag in terms of winning, and they're committing to just, you know, developing their young players. They're definitely not trying to win now, and, you know, hopefully, I guess they're just going to try to build their team for the future. But any way I could try to wrap my head around it, I don't really see this as a positive outcome. I was really hoping for anybody besides Vinny Del Negro, to be honest with you.
Just one last question on this. Would you have accepted interim coach Kim Hughes as the coach for this season?
That's a tough question. I like him as an assistant. He did a very good job of developing Chris Kaman. He's a big man coach, first and foremost. He's had a pretty good track record with Chris Kaman, helping him out throughout the league. Chris Kaman was an all-star last year, so you can't complain about that. As far as his head coaching abilities, we saw last year after they traded Marcus Camby away, they struggled mightily on both offense and defense. Kim Hughes said that they would open up the offense more, let Baron Davis run in transition, but it turns out that Baron Davis actually wasn't that much better at doing that, and the Clippers just spiraled downward from there on. And, you know, it could be that losing Marcus Camby hurt them a lot, and I mean, it probably did hurt them a lot, but Kim Hughes, I think, is not head coaching material quite yet. He still has a way to go before he learns to manage the game and learns to decide which players go where and have a cohesive offensive system. So
right. Yeah, I mean, he's got some of the fundamental elements together. It's kind of, I mean, some people are good roles as assistants, some are good as coaches. But anyhow, whatever the case may be now, that is not even the largest story of the night. I'm sure that's an understatement. You know, I know that you've been following the LeBron James saga all week. You pointed out that he had a Twitter just developed right now. You know what it's standing at right now, Juhan? I'll tell you how many.
Last time I checked, it was around 200,000 followers. And it started the day at around 50,000, I believe. So
yeah,
that's pretty big accomplishment, I guess.
It is incredible how people just jumped on like it was collecting water. It was just unbelievable. But now, on top of this, and on top of the Stoudemire deal with the Knicks, LeBron has announced on that he will be on a special ESPN program, 1 hour long, on Thursday to announce where he will go. And, you know, when this came out, I thought it was a joke, didn't you?
Well, I saw it on ESPN News Live as Chris Broussard was reporting it, so I knew it wasn't a joke, but it is kind of ridiculous that he's treating this as sort of like a college recruitment. You know, one of those press conferences where the guy picks a different hat on top of the table.
Exactly.
I really wonder how he's going to do it. I wonder if he's going to have, you know, a bunch of the NBA hats or our, like, armbands or headbands or something, and then he'll pick one. But I think it's going to be fun. Hey, this is what we've been waiting for. Certainly, I didn't want to hear the news through, like, a Twitter feed or something. This is big news, so I'm glad that they did this.
Well, I mean, I honestly think it's ridiculous. I think it's silly. I think it's really beneath the journalistic standards of really just it's unethical that ESPN would even agree to do this. But having said that, now that they've actually gone through with it and agreed, well, you know, of course I'm going to watch. I mean, this is going to be compelling television. What can I say, right?
Of course, who wouldn't want to watch this? This is going to be huge for ratings.
Yeah,
and of course LeBron, he's probably going to be that first domino to fall out of him, Bosh and Wade, like we said earlier. So who knows? Maybe Bosh and Wade will be there with him, and if they do announce it all together, that would be even better.
And I'll tell you what, I think that the one group who's most excited about this is New York City. I mean, the Knicks fans are so excited. You have no idea. I've been following up with New York message boards, New York sites, you know, following up on the Knicks predicament, and I'm telling you, the fervor is off the charts. It's probably the only time I can remember in recent history where the Yankees aren't the biggest story in New York right now, and they're not. I mean, LeBron is the deal. People are so excited about this. Can you imagine if he ended up in the Knicks?
I guess I can't imagine it because they've been tanking 2 years for this to happen.
I guess I guess I didn't parse that very well, but yeah, it certainly is imaginable, and it was at one point in time expected, and I'm sure of it. But what's really funny is that, I mean, didn't you know? I mean, we both, maybe we kind of both, maybe I say I certainly did. I thought that he was going to stay in Cleveland the whole time until that Game 5. When that Game 5 happened, everything changed. Like, I just completely thought differently about his predicament. It was crazy.
I read something today that actually ESPN and LeBron James were having discussions throughout the season to film a documentary based on his free agency tour this offseason. But then that all changed when he lost to the Celtics, and then it turns out, you know, LeBron James stopped talking to ESPN. So I really think that loss really took a toll on LeBron, and I think that kind of changed his whole outlook. You know, he's getting hammered left and right about him not trying hard enough in the Celtics series, and I think he wants to kind of back away for a while, not make a huge spectacle with the whole free agency tour. I think he got a little tired of people, you know, ragging on him. So I think, you know, This event is going to just go a long way towards reestablishing himself in that spotlight.
Yeah, I think so. I also think that fans at this point are going to look past all that. They're not going to certainly dock him and suddenly not want him just because of what he did in one series and in the playoffs. I think that's silly. And we don't even know the real reasons for it. You know, there's a lot of speculation that this may have had something to do with the fact that Delonte West was swinging it with his mom, with LeBron's mom, and it's just crazy. We just don't know the whole story yet.
Exactly. So I fully expect LeBron James to not even show up until the last about 10 or 5 minutes of the one-hour special. Throughout the 1 hour, they're probably going to, you know, have like a bunch of highlights or a bunch of his inner circle talking about what's been happening and, you know, what's what's their last few weeks have been, and I just kind of expect LeBron to, you know, hang out in the corner or behind the curtain and then appear at the end.
Yeah.
Like a big musical or something where the final act has to this is a show. It should be called the LeBron James Decision Show, and the last 5-10 minutes should take our breath away, and I'm just expecting so much right now. I can't even put it into words.
My gosh, this has so much potential. You know what? Bill Simmons, actually, to his credit, pointed out the possibility of this happening a long time. Actually, it was a reader of his. And I've been relinked to a column. This is courtesy of themikefrancesa.com, by the way. I should let you know that. But I've been relinked to a column that he did talking about this very type of show. This was from November. And they were talking about how, well, he should have a thing called LeBron's Choice. That was what the reader suggested. He came up with the Le Bachelor Decision 2010 LeBron's Verdict. We had, what else do we have? Yeah, Decision 2010. It's a presidential election now? That's insane. Oh, baby. No, that was it. That was all that there was in that. But, you know, it's got to give the... I guess you got to give ESPN credit for seizing the moment, but you can imagine that people who don't care about individuals like this on this level would be very turned off by ESPN in the last month. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And I don't know. I mean, I think that the problem with me, for my personal conflict, is that while it is kind of outlandish, it's still compelling, and it is worthwhile of covering. And look, I'm doing a podcast tonight because of this, basically, right? So, you know, it's worth they're talking about. And, you know, like we said, the Knicks are the odds-on favorite. How much of a chance to give New Jersey, though?
Look, if LeBron James doesn't know, I don't know for sure. But I do think that some teams are clearly out of the hunt, and some teams are in the hunt. And I do think that there are at least 4 or 5 teams that are still in the hunt. Cleveland, obviously. I believe Chicago is still in it. New Jersey, I wouldn't rule them out just yet. Also, New York, I wouldn't rule them out either. I think that he probably won't go to Miami at this point. And definitely, he probably won't go to the Clippers.
Yeah.
But at this point, I think New Jersey, New York are definite possibilities. But it's really amazing how close to the vest LeBron's been keeping this. There hasn't been any leaks whatsoever from his inner circle about which way he's leaning towards at all. It's just been educated guesses and speculation from the media at this point. And it's really amazing. I've never seen this before, and I really think that nothing is going to leak out until that actual press conference on Thursday. I'd be very surprised if his inner circle let something out before then.
Well, you know what? I'm going to put this in I think we should put this in perspective. This special is on ESPN. Who has been reporting most of the news regarding the NBA, and who has been at the forefront of it for the most part throughout the last month and a half? ESPN. So, if you think about it, maybe they knew about this a long time ago. Would that be a possibility?
It's possible, but I think it's more because ESPN is the place to go for sports.
Yeah.
LeBron James and his inner circle, they all know that if they want this to get the most exposure as possible, they should go through ESPN. I mean, they're definitely not going to go to, like, True TV or like, History Channel, something stupid. They're going to go to the largest mainstream sports network out there, and there's nowhere else to do this.
No, I'm not gonna tear up on ESPN too much because still, they still get a lot of things. They do a lot of things right, so I have to be honest about myself there. So, and I have to be honest about that. So, no question. I think that's fine. The venue is fine. The fact that they're announcing it is fine. The special is weird. But still, I will get past it, and I will watch. I will be there. I'll be watching it with you, man. I mean, you're going to be watching it. I'm going to be watching it at the bar, probably, and seeing what happens, and, you know, it could be interesting. What about the Bulls? You didn't mention the Bulls in any of that. Do you think that he has a chance at that, or do you think that's more of a Dwayne Wade decision at this point?
Like I said before, I really can't say, but I don't think Chicago is out of the running for any of those three guys, Bosch, Wade, and James.
Okay.
But I will say that I do think Bosch will end up with either Wade or LeBron. So I don't think it's a situation where if LeBron decides to stay in Cleveland and Dwayne Wade decides to stay in Miami, that Chris Bosh will go to Cleveland. I really do think that Chris Bosh is going to end up with one of those two. Just because of the fact that he's been tweeting about his week, making all of this so public, and it's pretty much a foregone conclusion right now that he's leaving Toronto.
Well, yeah, I think that's obvious. Yeah.
With all the leaks coming out that he's, you know, going to try to go to a team where LeBron and Wade are, and his camp hasn't been very good at keeping things close to the chest, so I do trust the reports that are saying that Chris Bosh wants to go with either Wade or LeBron. I don't see him by himself going to Chicago, but let's say LeBron or Dwayne Wade go to Chicago, then I do think Chris Bosh could go there.
Okay, so... Yeah, that's such a good point about Chris Bosh. Chris Bosh is the complete opposite of LeBron in this situation. He's like, look at me! I might be going here. I might be going here. I like what I heard from this conference. I like what they presented to me in this conference. This guy really is kind of like, look at me! I'm a player too! It's pretty funny.
Exactly. There was a picture that he tweeted a couple of weeks ago when he met with Dwayne Wade. The night that free agency started, he had dinner with Dwayne Wade, and there was a picture of him and Dwayne Wade sitting at a table right next to each other, except there was a space in between them, an empty seat, and he said in his tweet, I think somebody is missing.
I think I remember that, yeah.
Chris Bosh obviously is not taking this as seriously as LeBron. I mean, he is taking it seriously, but he's not as serious about keeping this hush-hush and keep making it such a big media event. Chris Bosh is more of a laid-back, chill, relaxed dude, and LeBron wants this to be like the greatest event that's ever happened in pro sports history. So at least I give Chris Bosh props for keeping it real.
I think I agree with that, actually. You know, Chris Bosh has been open and upfront, and he's been himself, and he doesn't need a big posse. I don't know if he has one or not, but he doesn't need whatever LeBron, what you keep talking about LeBron's people, like his handlers. I mean, handlers. This is Mike Tyson we're talking about now. A boxer, an entourage now? I mean, I guess people have entourages, but it's kind of crazy. You know, it's like he's got, I mean, I understand agents and stuff, but it's just crazy, this whole circus. And it's literally a circus at this point. It's three rings and a ringleader and a tightrope and an elephant. And the elephant, I think, will be Stuart Scott on Thursday. And, you know, it's just, it's outrageous. But, no, it's cool, though. I mean, it's cool at the same time. It's just kind of weird. But that's what's been so great about this. I mean, dude, I mean, this is going to be a big announcement, and we will be here for it, man. I mean, I'm going to totally be on top of it.
This is history in the making.
It really is. It really is.
It's going to be something that's going to be remembered for a long, long time.
Yeah.
For the sake of basketball and for the sake of history, I hope that he doesn't re-sign with Cleveland.
Oh, me too.
It's just going to feel like a huge letdown.
Oh, it would be such a waste. Now, I imagine he will not do this. And one of my friends actually said, it was actually Big B on our earlier podcast. He said he's going to take it to his grave that he's going to go to another team. So I'm like, dude, he better not stay. He better not stay, or else it might be too late for my friend. I think he's going to go anyway, though. So it shouldn't. That's probably what will end up happening no matter what. I don't know a whole lot about this, but I'll guarantee you one thing, Juhan. He's not going to go with Wade. Wouldn't you say? I mean, there's no way. I would be so surprised if he went with Dwayne Wade.
Unless it's with the super team scenario in Miami, Like I said before, I don't see him with Dwayne.
It wouldn't work. I mean, because the whole idea with LeBron is, in LeBron's eyes, is to make himself a huge story. And he's not going to make himself a huge story if he signs with Wade. Because you'll know that Wade, I would think Wade would end up being the leader of that team. Wade's already won a championship. Especially in Miami. He goes to Miami and it's just going to be Wade's team with LeBron. That accomplishes nothing.
Keep this in mind also, Chris Bosh has said that he wants a sign and trade, and Toronto has said that they're amenable to a sign and trade at this point, which means that Chris Bosh could be making $30 million more than he would be if he were just signing outright to, let's say, a Miami or Chicago. So if LeBron does join Dwayne Wade somewhere, let's say in Miami, Dwayne Wade's going to get 6 years, $120 million around that area. And that's because he has the Larry Bird rights there. But LeBron James, Cleveland's not going to do a sign-and-trade for him. So it would be unthinkable to think to say that he's going to take $30 million less than Dwayne Wade and join the team, Dwayne Wade's team, and I really don't see that happening.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem to make sense otherwise, right? So essentially what you're looking at then is, I would say, in my opinion, LeBron's choice is going to be between the Knicks and between the Bulls. I don't, like you said, I'd be extremely surprised if it was the Clippers. You know, him going to the Clippers would be the off-season equivalent of Villanova upsetting Georgetown in the 1985 championship. It would be unbelievable. And, I mean, that's putting it lightly. And to be honest with you, Jayon, I would love it. I would love it. It would be a big F you to New York. But, I mean, I would hate to see that happen to my friends who are New Yorkers and everything. But it would be so funny. Would it not be funny for all the ESPN guys who picked New York to be the place, and then all of a sudden he goes to the Clippers?
That would be my dream come true, Dave. I'm really hurt that you're laughing at the prospect of that.
I'm not laughing at the first of all, I would love for him to be in the Clippers because I could go to games and watch him play like every night. Wouldn't that be great? I'm not lampooning this in the
league. Dave.
All right. Hey, you're my pal, man.
To the Clippers. That would be the greatest thing that's ever happened to that franchise, and that's putting it lightly. No way to overstate the importance of LeBron James' impact on the Clippers franchise, but I think right now I've pretty much written it off. There's about a 0.0000001% chance that he comes to the Clippers.
I hear you. I think you're right in thinking that, but there's a couple of rumors. Like, for example, the one about David Geffen possibly buying the team off of Sterling. You know, that's a big story. You just never know. The surprises have happened before. Like, I remember when the Bulls got the number one pick in the lottery a couple of years ago, and they got Derrick Rose. And that was a huge upset at the time. I'm never going to rule anything completely out. But you're right. I'm going to be expecting the words New York to be or Chicago to come out of the mouth of LeBron James towards the end of that program. But we'll see. That's why it's exciting, because you don't ever truly know. That's the beauty of sports. You never truly know exactly what's going to happen.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
After LeBron James announces his decision, do you think he's going to do a Q&A himself or just run off the stage and say, I'm going to New York, bye?
Dude, this guy's always...
At this point, wouldn't you have to say that he has to stay up on the stage and take a Q&A? He can't just make a one-hour press conference just to announce his decision and walk off the stage, can he?
Well, honestly, Tiger Woods did pretty much exactly that. When he announced his, when he came back and he had the whole adultery scene and he had his presser, he just basically said, okay, this, I'm out of here. I would be willing to go 50-50 on that. So in other words, I think he certainly would be happy to address questions at this point. But knowing him and his tendency to stay away from press conferences and in big moments, I don't know. I honestly would say, well, My first instinct said that he would leave right away, just to kind of keep everybody wanting more. But I think I'm with you in that he should hang around. I think that would just, it would just make sense.
You know what I think? I think that if he decides to stay with Cleveland, he probably will hang around.
Yeah.
But if he goes to another team, you know, I think he might feel a little guilty, you know, if he does this, with all the media probably going to bombard him with questions about, oh, what about home, what about loyalty? And, you know, the thing with LeBron James is we know that he wants to be the man, he wants to be worshipped, but he doesn't want to be put in uncomfortable situations. So I think that if he does decide to go to a different team, it probably will be a quick announcement and a sort of see you later.
Yeah, I think that's very well put. I guess at this juncture, I would be most disappointed, by the way, just like you, I would be most disappointed if he stays with Cleveland. He's got to go somewhere else. I mean, for all this to have happened, for us to spend this much time, to imagine him just saying, oh yeah, I'm going back to Cleveland. For what? It doesn't seem to, I hope it's some other team.
And news came out today that Chris Bosh is not willing to go to Cleveland in a sign and trade. For whatever reason, probably because Cleveland sucks.
We were just thinking about the super team process in Chicago, but you know that could be a possible destination. You know, but then you can think about the Jordan Spector, right, Juron?
Yeah, and you know what just hit me, Dave? What if LeBron James had been planning to go to Chicago all along? You know that he decided to switch his jersey number to 6 from 23, and maybe he did it because he knew that he couldn't wear 23 in Chicago, and 6 is the number of championships that Jordan has. So this is crazy, crazy speculation on my part.
Wow.
But if it does turn out that he knew it was going to be Chicago all along, then I think that jersey change move is seen as genius.
Oh, wow. I mean, that is an epiphany like no other. Just that is incredible that you would think that. That's an incredible thought process. I mean, just an excellent observation. And you can imagine, like, if he did that and then Wade joined him and Bosh joined. Now, I don't know how they would work that out. But let's say that all three of them were there with Derrick Rose. The Bulls would win every game by, like, 90 points.
Yes, and their opponents would crumble at their feet.
And even better, imagine, like, you know, you've told me that if he did end up on, you know, whatever team he ends up on, it's almost a lock that whatever that team is will play the Lakers on Christmas Day. Wow.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that. You know that LeBron and Kobe is the biggest draw in the NBA, and if LeBron does go to a new team, that is for sure 120% a lock. And if somehow miraculously they do form a super team, I think it will be one of the most, if not the most, anticipated basketball games ever.
Yeah, you get no argument from me. I mean, one of the most anticipated games in just the history of sports. I mean, you can't even imagine the amount of talent on both teams. I mean, you got all-star team versus, well, you could say another all-star team. It would be unbelievable. It's even bigger than the Big Three.
But the thing with LeBron, Wade, and Bosh is that they're not like the Celtics when they were put together. I mean, the Celtics Big Three, they were all-stars, but they were all, you know, about 30 years old or over 30 years old when they were put together.
Yeah.
The three guys, LeBron hasn't even hit 26 years old yet. 27, around 28 is when they're supposed to hit their athletic prime. He hasn't even hit his prime yet.
Wow.
And just the fact that these three guys are all under 28 years old, I mean, we could be seeing super team for the next decade.
That is positively scary. It really is. You would almost expect them to win at least one championship in the next, I don't know, 5 years.
Yeah, and, you know, let's say they do form a super team in Miami, then they can't really form a super team in Chicago if they wanted to, because, you know, Chicago doesn't really have that cap space. So I think Miami is the only logical place for super team. But if super team happens, then you don't have to, you know, go after a big time point guard or center this year. You still have the next couple years. You'll have draft picks, which will probably be low first-round draft picks, and you'll have the mid-level exception. And as we saw a long time ago, back in 04, I believe, when the Lakers were able to sign both Gary Payton and Karl Malone, legendary players at the position for the almost the veterans minimum, like around $2 million, we could see the same situation again, where we'll see maybe like Hall of Famers, you know, maybe
yeah,
even...
Yeah, bring in Paul Pierce, you know. Bring in Paul Pierce.
Hey, but think about Steve Nash.
Steve,
joining Super Team, or Steve Nash desperately wanting to get a ring, taking the mid-level exception next year. who knows what could happen.
Tony Parker would be another possibility. You never know. You never know. Now, I was just joking about Paul Pierce. He actually re-upped with the Celtics anyway. But that's pretty crazy. Yeah. Oh, one other thing. Amari Stoudemire. There's so much debate about this guy. What did you think about the Knicks signing him to basically a max contract?
Well, I'm going to hold off judgment on that one right now, because I think it all depends on whether they're able to land LeBron or Wade. And I, like I said before, I do think that they still have a chance with LeBron. I don't think they're out of the running for that just yet. But if they weren't able to get a LeBron or a Wade, I think they are still screwed. I don't think LeBron or Amari is worth a maximum contract and can carry a team by himself. I think he's a good second fiddle. But I do think that if they are unable to land LeBron or Wade, then the Knicks are screwed just like before.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not worth taking 2 years and ending, you know, basically giving up on two whole seasons and $100 million, basically, for that. It's not worth it. Yeah.
But if they do land a LeBron or Wade, I think it is all worth it, because that's what GM Donnie Walsh and the whole Knicks organization set out to do since the moment they got there, is to land LeBron James or a Dwayne Wade would be a very good consolation prize. I think they're, you know, obviously hoping to land LeBron over Dwayne Wade. But if they're able to do that, I think Knicks fans would be ecstatic, and they would quickly forget that they were throwing $100 million at Amari Stoudemire. The prospect of LeBron, Amari Stoudemire pick and rolls is just too delicious to just put to the side.
Yeah, I'd say that. If they do get LeBron, you know, I've really been worth thinking really hard about this, because I couldn't decide. But I think that it is worth the risk if it means that LeBron would also come, you know. And you mentioned something really interesting. Pick and rolls. Amari Stoudemire, great pick and roll player. LeBron James, also pretty good on the break. D'Antoni, a fast breaking coach. The fit is amazing. It would be a good fit.
Yeah, but it is going to take a couple of years for them to build their roster, because they don't have draft picks. They traded all those away to clear up the cap space. And if they do sign LeBron, and they already have Amari, they're not going to have room to sign any other good players this year. They'll have to renounce David Lee if they want to sign LeBron. So the chances of signing and trading David Lee after they get LeBron, that's not happening. So it's going to take a while, maybe a year or two, but they do have Eddie Curry's expiring contract that they could swing for maybe a high-level player next year or in this upcoming season. So they'll have some work to do, but it'll definitely be an amazing start if they were able to land LeBron.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And again, defense is also a question. There isn't really great defense on that team as it is. But that's a topic for another day. Anyway, again, thanks again for joining us here on the podcast. And, well, we'll see what happens, my friend.
Sure. Thanks for having me. If you need me, I'll be in my bedroom alone crying at the prospect of Vinny Del Negro play calls at the end of Clipper game.
All right, fella. Have a good one.
All right. See you later.
That was Juhong Lee here joining us in the city on Locks Leak Radio. Well, that'll do it for our show. Thanks for listening, everybody. Hope you all have a wonderful Wednesday, and we'll see you next time.